I want to take a look at a fascinating Ramban about Tzaras. Most of Tazria Metzora is focused on Tzaras, the beginning and the beginning of Tazria and the end of Metzora focus on other areas of Tumah v'Tahara. But the bulk of this week's laning is dedicated to Tzaras in the three different contexts in which Tzaras presents itself. Tzaras on a person's body, various parts of a person's body, visible skin on above the hairline, and so on and so forth. And then tzaras begadim, and finally tzaras batim. Tzaras on one's clothing, or tzaras in one's home. And there's a lot of richness of halachic detail in the psukim. Something that Mishnayos Chagiga point out, this is one of the areas of halacha where the ratio, so to speak, of Torah Shebichsav to Torah Shebapeh is most pronounced. There's a lot of detail in the psukim themselves. And the Ramban, in his parish this week, he is, as we've seen in the past, he has many different genres. So at Tazria Metzora, he's predominantly focused on the Parshanut and on the Halacha and the Midrashay Halacha. I want to take a look at a comment that he makes, a machshava comment that he makes, here in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Mem Zayin. This is where the Torah transitions from a focus on Nigei Adam to a focus on Nigei Begadim, from a focus on Tzaras on one's person, all the different scenarios, on skin, on a bald spot, and here and there, on a scar tissue. Perigur Gimel Pasuk Mem Zayin, the Torah turns to Nigei Begadim. Ha-Begad Kiyibu Nega Tzaras. Let's say there's a piece of clothing, article of clothing, some sort of garment that displays Tzaras. Begad Tzemer, Begad Pishtim. It might be wool, or it might be linen, or it may even be some wool or linen thread, or it's some sort of leather garment. Torah gives all the different examples. And the Torah goes on to give some of the details. Unlike Nigei Adam, where the problematic color is typically, though not exclusively, white, here is Vahaya Nege Yirak Rak O Adam Dam. Here the concern is if there's a green spot or a red spot, a deep green or a deep red. And once again, the Torah reviews Babeged O Ba'ar, whether the green or the red is on cloth, or it's on leather, or it's on the shesir Eir's thread. So the Ramban points out that something new is being introduced here. Ramban says, unlike Nigei Adam, which may have some natural counterparts, there are situations where for medical reasons someone has a skin discoloration. This is Einena B'teva Klal. This is no natural counterpart. Lahove Olam. This does not happen. The same is true later in Parshas Metzora. We talk about Nega in a home. So what is this? Behios, so he's going to develop a conceptual framework for thinking about Nige Begadim and Nige Batim that's going to give us insight into the some of the positive machshava that the Torah is presenting here, and it's going to explain as well in the masterful hands of the Ramban a number of the halachic details of Nigei Begadim and Nigei Batim. He's actually even come up with a halachic chiddush over the course of this hashkafic analysis. And it's also going to explain some of the curiosities in the way that the psukim present the dinim. Let's take a look. B'yos Yisrael Shleimim El Hashem. At a time in Jewish history when Klal Yisrael's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very whole and perfected, Yeruach Hashem Aleihem Tamid. There's an ongoing Hashruah Sashchina, an ongoing Ruach Hashem, an ongoing Ruach HaKodesh. You think about the use of the term Ruach Hashem appears in, I believe, repeatedly in Sefer Shoftim, and maybe we even say for Shmuel, in Sefer Shmuel as well. And there's a particular siyata d'shmaya given to a particular shofet. When Klal Yisrael as a whole enjoyed that type of Ruach Hashem because of our spiritual standing, because of our spiritual accomplishments, when we have ongoing Ruach Hashem Aleihem Tamid, Lahamid gufamu vigdehemu vatem maratov. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu is more directly involved in the health of our bodies and of our assets, our clothing, our homes. When Jews are living at that degree of spiritual perfection, then when there's a step back, when there's a sin, it'll express itself as a loss in the beauty of one's own skin, or of one's clothing, or of one's home. What that symbolizes, what it communicates, ki Hashem sarmei alav. The Kadosh Baruch Hu was this Jew took a step back from Kadosh Baruch Hu, so Kadosh Baruch Hu took a step back from him. There's less direct hashgacha pratis. Ulakach amar hakasev v'nosati negat saras beveis eretz achuz aschem. Now, what the Ramban is telling us is that this is a supernatural occurrence, but it's a supernatural rational occurrence. It's a rational supernatural occurrence. It makes sense that if Jews are living on an extraordinary spiritual level, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in our lives in a more direct way, so it stands to reason that when a Jew sins, there's going to be a visible, I wouldn't have guessed this necessarily, but rationally, it's going to be a HaKadosh Baruch Hu will in turn, kemayim apayim upon him, lessen somewhat the degree of Ashgacha Pratis, and our bodies or our property will suffer as a result. So the Ramban goes on to say what that means is that Nigayim is sort of this paradox. It's a symbol of Chet, it's a symbol of spiritual failing, but it's also a symbol of a back. It communicates a background of extraordinary spiritual level. This we can only begin to talk about tzaras when a Jew is on such a high madrega, and then he drops down. This Jew, he or she drops down. So then there'll be, I'm living in such intimacy, in such imminence with Ribbono Shel Olam, so the step back that I took through that chet is going to be expressed physically. And he says, that's why, that explains the following din that appears in the psukim. L'kach amar akasuv, in the context of nige batim, the third type of tzaras, v'nosati nega tzaras beveis eretz achuz aschem. The Torah says that nige batim occurs specifically in Eretz Yisrael. It has to be in a house in the land that of our heritage. Eretz achuz aschem. Kihi makas Hashem bebaisu. It's a Kadosh Baruch. This is not. This is a metaphysical reality. This is a supernatural. This is a miracle that's happened to my house. It's only going to happen in Eretz Yisrael, which is Nachas Hashem, where we have, in other words, where we have the closest relationship with that Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban is explaining, number one, that base Eretz Achuz Aschem, he's demonstrating that that's, as the Psukim there say, specifically Eretz Yisrael, and it's specifically because that's the land that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to us, the land that he gives to us as an Achuzah. And what the Ramban driving at, what he's driving at, he makes clear in the following line. Ein ha-davar b'pnei ha-yoso chovas karka. It isn't because this is an agricultural mitzvah. In other words, the Ramban does not directly quote this Mishnah, but he's clearly referencing a Mishnah near the end of the first parak of Kiddushin. The end of the first parak of Kiddushin, the Mishnahs have a series of klalei mitzvahs, various principles about mitzvahs in general, about large categories of mitzvahs. And one of the principles the Mishnahis have there is that those mitzvahs which are agricultural, mitzvah tluya ba'aretz, applies typically only in Eretz Yisrael, with very few exceptions. The agricultural mitzvahs, trumas and maaseros and shemitah and yovel and so forth, apply specifically in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah goes on to say, but if it's ein tluya ba'aretz, if it's a non-agricultural mitzvah, it applies all over the world. Pesach and Sukkot, eating matzah, not eating chametz, and making kiddush on Shabbos, eating in a sukkah and giving tzedakah and emuna, non-agricultural mitzvahs are noah goes bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. So what the Ramban is bothered by is that Tzaras appears to be an exception. Nigei Batim, the Torah is explicit in Parshas Metzora, applies only in Eretz Israel. Why? There's nothing agricultural about it. We're not talking about Yovel. We're not talking about Peah. So why would Tzaras be limited to Eretz Israel? Look, we have other mitzvahs of our home, like mezuzah and ma'akeh. Those apply all over the world. So why should Nigei Batim apply only in Eretz Israel? There's nothing agricultural about it. Whether Rabban is explaining, it fits into a larger theme there. Shechter develops in other contexts. Actually, often, this is a Shira Shechter, a theme that he'll often speak about in Yeshiva on Yom HaTzmaot, is the many aspects of Eretz Israel. Eretz Israel is, from a halachic standpoint, is not only a place of Kedusha Sa'arat. It's not only a place of holy soil. It is a place of holy soil. The soil itself is holy, which is expressed halachically in the fact that, as we're saying, agricultural mitzvahs, trumas and maisras, and so on and so forth, apply specifically to produce that grows in the holy soil, the holy dirt of Eretz Yisrael. That's one aspect of the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael, but that's certainly not the only aspect of uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael. There are so many others. The fact that we daven facing Eretz Yisrael has nothing to do with agriculture. The fact that Beis HaMikdash needs to be built only in Eretz Yisrael, that Bamos, even in the era of Bamos, only in Eretz Yisrael, that has nothing to do with agriculture. And on and on and on and on. The fact that Smicha is only conferred in Eretz Yisrael, the fact that Kiddush HaChodesh is ideally performed only in Eretz Yisrael. There are many other halachically unique aspects of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Shechter, as a matter of fact, enumerates seven. One of which, but only one of which, is Kedushas Haaretz, specifically. Eretz Yisrael is also an extension of Beis HaMikdash. Eretz Yisrael is also, in a halachic sense, our national homeland. Eretz Yisrael is the glue that brings us together as a tzibur, that makes us into more than merely an aggregate of Jewish individuals. Eretz Yisrael is that which combines us into Klal Yisrael. And on and on. One of the aspects that Ramban speaks about in several places in his Pirush Al Torah is that Eretz Yisrael, in addition to the other aspects, Eretz Yisrael is a place where we have greatest access to Ribono Shel Olam. It's the palace of the king, Paltin Shel Melech. And there are various dinim, that, as the Torah is going to tell us in next week's leaning, averos committed in Eretz Yisrael are more grievous than averos committed in Chutz La'aretz. It's a greater slap in the face, so to speak, to Ribono Shel Olam, to violate his will in his presence, in the palace of the king, to violate the king's instructions. It's a terrible chutzpah. And mitzvahs done in Eretz Yisrael are of even greater value. And Ramban says, there's greater hashgacha pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was more directly involved in our lives, so to speak, in Eretz Yisrael. And so, nigei batim makes sense in Eretz Yisrael. As I was saying before, it's ironic that it's nigam, our expression of a spiritual failing on my part, but in the context of overall great spiritual level. At such a great spiritual level, the Ribono Shel Olam is, as a result, chosen to be more directly involved in my life. So if I perform a chet under those circumstances, then it'll express itself as a nega in the house. Only I'm going to be on that madrig in Eretz Yisrael. Ein hadavar, once again, the fact that nigei batim is limited to Eretz Yisrael, it's not because it's a chovas karka, it's not because it's an agricultural mitzvah, it's not agricultural. So then why, Ramban implies the question, so then why is it limited to Eretz Yisrael? The Mishnah said that the mitzvah she'enu tuli barat, non-agricultural mitzvah, Noah goes bein barat, bein mechutz la'aretz. So he explains, no, of a Pneishal Yava, here it's according to a different aspect of Eretz Yisrael. Nigei Batim is only in Eretz Yisrael, but Pneishal Yava, Hayanahu, Ella the Eretz HaNivcheres. This metaphysical reality that Chet could result in physical expression, a physical degradation of my house, that would only happen in Eretz HaNivcheres. It only happened in the chosen land. Asher Hashem HaNichbad, where there's a more direct Hashra HaShchina. And he goes on to say, "B'toras Kohanim." Let's dig for further details. B'toras Kohanim, the Midrash Halacha and Parshas Mitzora, Darshu Od, they darshan further. She'ein habayis mitamei. Not only does it have to be in Eretz Yisrael, not only the where but the when. Achar kibush v'chiluk. It had to be more than 14 years after the Jews entered under Yehoshua. Once they'd already conquered the land and divided up among the Shvatim. Sheikol echer v'echer makir shalo. They already divided up, and every Jew had his portion, personal portion, in Eretz Yisrael. Why? So when it comes to mitzvos hatoluyos ba'aretz, we find such an idea. The Trumas and Maestros and Shemitah and Yovel only began in year 15. That's because the conquest, the Kibush and Chiluk, was the Mekadesh of Eretz Yisrael. That's what endowed it with the Kedusha. But here, once again, this has nothing to do with Kedusha Sa'aretz. It's not about the Kedusha of the soil. So why only after Kibush and Chiluk, says the Rambam? Ki oz nehatam, ki oz nesyashva daita maleim ladasas Hashem. During those first 14 years, there was such turmoil that they didn't have the yishuv adas, they didn't have the mental focus, the menuchas hanefesh, to have yediyas Hashem. Fascinating, even though they were seeing nisim, and they were involved in the midst of yishuv haaretz in such a dramatic way, it was incredible. But it didn't give them the quiet focus that they needed, which they enjoyed subsequently, to be able to build the type of relationship that Kadosh Baruch Hu that would be such Ashra Sashchina. Oz Nisyashra Daitim Alein Le'as Hashem. Once Eretz Yisrael was under their belts, then V'tishra Shchina B'Sochem. Then there was Ashra Sashchina. And the Ramban goes on to offer a Chiddush LaHalacha. Fascinating, based on his Hashkafic analysis. Very unusual. Rabban thinks that even though the pasuk only specifies Eretz Yisrael in the context of Nigei Batim, Rabban thinks the same should be true for Nigei Begadim as well. The same logic. The Torah didn't specify it, but he thinks it's true. Doesn't specify it's not going to happen. It may not be a din, it may not be a halacha that Nigei Begadim. Does the parsha doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz? But he says, practically speaking, as a matter of metaphysical reality, you would never find Nigei Begadim in Chutz La'aretz. Because again, it's a metaphysical reality. It's a miraculous metaphysical reality that makes sense to only find in the spiritually elevated context of Eretz Yisrael. And then it sort of circles back to the larger point that he opened with, which is, this is miraculous. This isn't about mold, and this isn't about termites, this isn't about water damage, this is miraculous. Because it's miraculous, yet as a result developed that it's a miracle that metaphysically makes sense in the context of Eretz Yisrael, in the context of an overall very high spiritual level. He says the first point he had made, that this is miraculous, that's why the Tanam tell us that the din only applies to uncolored clothing. If it's dyed clothing, so then it's not clear that the color that's developing is a miracle. Maybe it's just something's happening to the dye. And then finally, he said, he closes one more. I mentioned before he was going to develop a hashkafic analysis. He was going to use it to explain halachic details. He was going to use it to be mechadesh, offer halachic kiddush, which we saw. Namely, he thinks it doesn't halachic kiddush or a chiddush anyhow that nigei begadim are also on Eretz Yisrael. And finally, he uses it to explain a wrinkle in the language of the psukim. He says, if you look at the psukim that we saw when we began, the Torah has a long list of what sorts of garments are eligible. It could be wool, it could be linen, or it could be not even made yet, just thread, or it could be leather. But the Torah doesn't give you that list just once. Normally you expect Torah giving the list once, and then give me all the details of the dinim. But the Torah keeps repeating that whole list, just from one pasuk to the next. And pasuk psukim em zayin memeches, it's an introducing the basic din of tzaras begam. It says beget tzara, beget pishim, shosi erev, or melachas ar. And then the very next pasuk mem tes, again it says, you have this deep green or deep red spot on We once again give the whole list. Beged, Ar, Shasi, Erev, Kliar. Why are we repeating the list? And again, later on again, in Pasuk Nun Aleph, and Pasuk Nun Beis. We keep repeating this whole Chagadia. Why? He says, I'll tell you why. Aderech HaPshat, it says there may be additional layers of Min Aderech Drash. Aderech HaPshat, though, Pnei Zeh Yachaziro HaKasuv B'chal Pasuk U'Pasuk HaBeged Ar, Shasi, Erev. This is why the Torah keeps repeating the whole list. Why? Ki hadavar neis. Because it's miraculous. And therefore what? So I believe he's saying, we have no intuition about this. We can't say, oh, we assume that all the details apply to wool and linen and leather. It's all miraculous. It's very hard for us to have any intuition about how it's likely to play out. That's why the Torah keeps repeating, and this detail also could apply to wool or linen or leather, or even loose thread. And that detail also, wool or linen or leather or loose thread. He says, the Torah's Kohanim, the Medrash Halacha Meikra, has plenty of Midrashim, additional layers of meaning that are indicated by the repetition of the wool, linen, leather thread. That list repeating again and again. It says, but Derech Pshuto, it's because this is all nice. So the Torah needs to tell us, this aspect might happen to any of those materials, this aspect might happen, it may come with these colors, it may leave with these colors, every single step is a chesh, because this is all nisim. And again, a very fascinating paradox of, it's a result of chet, but chet within the context of overall great level. Thank you so much.